a review of Greenland, a movie called Greenland is out. Tell us about this action film, I guess.
Mm-hmm. In Greenland, a comet is heading toward Earth, and when it hits, extinction is guaranteed. Needless to say, this is not exactly a feel-good movie. Gerard Butler plays a structural engineer whose family is chosen in a government lottery to be whisked off by plane to an underground bunker in Greenland where they might theoretically survive. He gets separated from them in the process of going there, leading to a frantic effort to reunite before the world ends. Now, the last time Gerard Butler made a disaster movie, it was the awful Geostorm, a picture that still makes me cringe to think about. Thankfully, this one is a lot better. There are definitely a few harrowing scenes of destruction. Mostly, though, the movie isn't about the end of the world so much as it's about how people respond to the end of the world. Greenland is different than most disaster movies because it cares about the people in the middle of the disaster. I was on the edge of my seat the entire time, hoping that Butler could find his wife and son before time ran out. A subplot about his marital problems is pointless, and the great Scott Glenn is wasted in a supporting role as Butler's father-in-law, but I gotta tell you, Greenland is 2 straight hours of almost nonstop tension. It debuts on demand today. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3 Armageddons.
All right, 3 Armageddons for this, and it isn't just another disaster film like that, what was it, Geo Crashing or whatever it was.
Geostorm.
Right.
Yeah, things like that.
But again, dig into why this film will have a lot of appeal and is good.
The movie does a really good job of conveying the sense of panic and desperation that would happen in the wake of a cataclysmic event. There are a lot of scenes of people panicking. He gets to the airport and there are people trying to crash the fences and get over, people who have not been chosen. There's a really harrowing scene towards the beginning where Gerard Butler and his family are in their car and they're driving to this location. And the neighbors know where they're going, but none of them have been picked, and so they're begging him to take their children along. It's really a movie about the people and how they respond, and the movie has some fun coming up with interesting ways to capitalize on the tragedy, you know, being separated from your family in the middle of an emergency. So it's very much human-centered as opposed to special effects-centered.
And those special effects that do exist, seemingly realistic, they kind of get the job done?
Yeah, they're very good, and like I said, there are only a couple scenes of actual destruction, but when they happen, they're done well enough that you really feel the weight of them, and that adds to the character story. So I think they hit a really good balance on this one. Instead of just 2 hours of, hey, look at us destroying this landmark and that landmark and having this blow up, it's a movie about people.
All right, so 3 Armageddons for the movie Greenland, Gerard Butler, and a good supporting cast around him. A good, I called it an action film, but I guess a more of a disaster movie that unfolds there with a good drama. Let's see, what else you got cooking today? Since it's the week before Christmas, you say you'd like to talk about some of the big movies that are coming out. We won't get to talk to you for 2 weeks, so let's cover the biggest of the big over that 2 week period.
Right, well, one of the big ones that's going to be coming to Disney Plus on Christmas Day is Soul. This is the new movie from Pixar, and Jamie Foxx plays this jazz musician who passes away and has to try to get back to his regular life. And I screened this movie over Thanksgiving, and Pixar has done it again. They've created another really wonderful, touching film about life and the power of music and what music can do to people. So that is going to open on Christmas Day on Disney Plus. And then another movie coming out next week. Oh, my gosh, I've just blanked on what it is.
Oh, George Clooney's The Midnight Sky.
That's the one. George Clooney has a new science fiction movie called The Midnight Sky that will debut on Netflix next week. And I screened this one last week. And, again, another really fantastic movie. I don't want to give too much away because there's sort of a direction the movie goes down that you're better off not knowing in advance. But similar to Greenland, there has been a cataclysmic event in the world. He is a scientist alone in an Arctic research facility, and he discovers that there's a little girl in the building with him, and the movie kind of builds from there. And The Midnight Sky is one of those movies that has some exciting CGI scenes and a few action scenes, but really, again, it's another really affecting movie about people and about loneliness and about isolation. So that's called The Midnight Sky, and it will debut on Netflix next week.
All right, fabulous. Well, you don't give it 3 or 4 stars or anything like that at this moment?
Soul and Midnight Sky are both 3.5 stars.
Oh, 3.5. Okay, fabulous. Well, I'll see him in 1 year. I've discovered that I'm about 1 year behind you. I just saw 1917, so.
Oh, there you go. Did you like it?
Oh, my gosh. I thought it was fabulous. Crazy.
Yeah, good.
I just couldn't believe it. I had to watch it 2 times because so much to listen to and verbally through it that was a little bit hard to catch a little bit. And then I had to go back and look at the visuals and those, you know, recapture the whole story. So, yeah, that was 2 hours really, really well spent. Well, let's talk about Pixar real quick here. Why do they have this fabulous recipe for producing not just successful films, but artistically and in terms of the acting, just real always significant films come out of that studio?
It's all about story. They put their stories through a rigorous process. Sometimes they change them halfway through production. They're constantly fine-tuning to make sure that the story is as good as possible. And that's really what makes a great movie. You have to have a wonderful story at the core.
Okay, so that they perfect this. And you say they perfect it with what? Audiences? Test audiences? Or the director's good intuition? Or who's influencing this evolution as the film falls together?
Well, they have a whole process at Pixar where there's a gigantic team and everybody gets to give input on the movie. So they kind of spell out the stories with storyboards and things like that, and people can, you know, other writers and other people at Pixar can pick, toss in ideas or point out if something doesn't work. So it's an in-house kind of thing, but they really have perfected that, and they're very open to taking chances with stories. So if somebody has a good idea, they'll incorporate it.
And they spend 10 times more to produce a movie. Do they get a proportional return on investment?
Yeah, Pixar movies are generally gold at the box office. You know, there's only been one or two that have been financial disappointments, but none of them have been outright flops. So their movies resonate very well with audiences. Audiences respond to them very, very strongly.
Right, Tom Cruise had a bit of a meltdown this week about which really most people say they're not that bothered by it. You know, most people seem to understand.
Yeah, on the set of Mission Impossible 7, which had closed down production a couple times because of COVID, apparently Tom Cruise saw two crew members on the set violating COVID protocol and went off on a rather profanity-laden rant, screaming and yelling at them for 3 minutes. And I'm kind of two minds on this. On the one hand, it's really good to see somebody taking COVID seriously. And in his rant, Tom Cruise talks about the fact that it's not just this movie that is affected. It's, you know, if the movie shuts down, people lose their jobs. People unlike him who are not making millions of dollars, you know, they could lose their homes. They could lose things like that. So he's got some points in there. On the other hand, I don't know that screaming and swearing and yelling at people is the best way of handling things. It's not how I would have done it. So I am a little on the fence with Tom Cruise, but yeah, I think it is good that he was standing up for COVID protocols.
Well, I don't know much about Tom Cruise, but I know this isn't the first time he's been, volatile and ultra vocal and maybe profane in making sure that things are run the 100% right way on his movie sets or when he's just an actor in the film. Okay, so that's Tom Cruise. And Star Wars actor Jeremy Bullock died. I'm afraid to admit I didn't know too much about him until I looked it up and boned up on this topic a little bit. But really a key player for folks that enjoy the Star Wars films and stories.
Absolutely, and his death comes less than 3 weeks after the death of David Prowse, who was the man inside the Darth Vader costume. But Jeremy Bullock was the actor who originated the bounty hunter Boba Fett in The Empire Strikes Back and The Return of the Jedi. He was 75 years old. And Boba Fett is a very iconic character for a lot of people, myself included, who grew up with those original films. There was a lot of mystique around Boba Fett, so he remains a fan favorite to this day. So another great loss for those of us who love Star Wars.
And playing the character correctly, artistically, and strongly was important to him. I mean, he didn't have always tons to say, but there was a whole mystique around Boba Fett.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Bullock modeled the character on Clint Eastwood's character, the Man with No Name, in Sergio Leone's Dollars trilogy from back in the 60s. So it was very much a physical performance as opposed to a verbal one. But yeah, the costume and just the way he presented himself as this cool, slick, unknowable, mysterious bounty hunter was alluring to a lot of kids like me.
All right. Well, fabulous. Yeah, and it probably helped really plant the seeds for your love of cinema, which you really enjoy today. Thank you so much, Movie Mike. Do enjoy the holidays. Thanks for checking in. We appreciate all your information and your help and your hard work. And when we next speak, we'll get a preview of your year-end list of movies that you always produce.
Yes. I'm working on it now, so we'll do that after the new year.
All right, fabulous. Sounds great. Thank you so much, Movie Mike. We will chat again. Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic. And do as I do. Stay about a year behind him. So look at last year's great reviews at aisleseat.com. And we thank the Campus Theater Lewisburg for being his sponsor.